Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today is Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here ends our lesson. Dear friends in Christ, it was a typical Sunday afternoon, mid to late afternoon, back in February of 2004, Michelle and I had just finished eating, played with our three very little girls at the time outside. I heard the phone ringing inside the house. I thought, I'm just going to maybe let it go to voicemail or go to the answering machine because this is prime time for telemarketers anyway. But then you think, it could be an emergency. So you go and I scurried into the house and answered the phone. The man on the other end of the line identified himself as one Oral Piper. Never heard of the guy. Never heard of the guy. But this Oral Piper person said he was the chairman of Crown of Life Lutheran Church, and they had a call meeting that day, and the congregation decided to call me as their pastor. Now, in that moment, and in the weeks that followed, I had a really big decision to make. Really big decision. And once I actually made the big decision, I had even more decisions to make, right? When should we move? How do I find an affordable mover? Should we take everything with us to the Twin Cities, or should we just leave some stuff in Little Rock? Should we choose this Sunday for installation or that Sunday for installation? Should we buy this house or should we buy that house? Decisions, decisions, decisions. You've all been there, haven't you? Those big decisions that come along in your life. Decisions about what career path you should choose, what college you should go to, the person you should marry, if you should even get married, the house you should buy, where you should live, should you retire. Decisions, decisions, decisions. But as Christians, it's not just making a decision, is it? We want to make decisions that are in line with God's will. We always ask ourselves the question, what would God want me to do? There are plenty of folks who would say that God actually has a very specific number of things that he wants you to do in your life. He's got them all lined up. Very specific things that he wants you to do because he has a predetermined blueprint for your life. You know, if you think about a blueprint for a house that you're building, everything, every last detail is planned out for the house, isn't it? Blueprint will tell you where every door, every window is supposed to be. A blueprint will tell you where all the plumbing pipes and the electrical wiring is supposed to be behind the walls in the house. It'll tell you every last detail. And that's the thought that so many people have with our life, that God has every last detail of your life all planned out, what he wants you to do, even before you take your very first breath. God has it determined where you're going to live, what job you're going to have, who you're going to marry, when exactly you should retire. Every last detail all planned out. With the blueprint mentality, you would have to go through your life terrified, absolutely terrified that you are making the wrong decision. That somehow, with the choices that you make in your life, you'd be terrified that you are somehow, maybe just possibly, going against God's plan, his predetermined will for you in your life. Could you imagine how that would go? I wonder if I messed up and I took the wrong call. Maybe I should have been serving this congregation over here instead of that one over there. I wonder if I married the wrong person. I wonder if I was supposed to get married at all. I wonder what God's plan was for my career. Should I have taken that job? I wonder if I'm supposed to retire now or if I'm supposed to wait a while. I wonder if the plan was for me to stay in my own home for a while or if I should move to that retirement community. Terrified. You end up being paralyzed by fear that you are going to make the wrong choice. You will make the wrong decision. And if that's the way a person thinks, if that's the way you might think from time to time, you will end up overthinking things, hesitating on decisions, even neglecting some really good, solid choices, really acceptable choices for you in your life. You know, maybe a better way to look at it, a much better way to look at it than saying God has a blueprint for your life, would be to say that God has a game plan for your life. It's different, isn't it? A game plan is different. Instead of all the little details about what's going to happen or where things ought to be or how things ought to go, a game plan gives you general guidelines, general principles with lots of freedom and flexibility to make adjustments within the game itself. You know, I rarely use sports analogies in sermons because I don't know how many people actually follow sports. But I thought in this instance, maybe football really would be a pretty good illustration for a game plan. If you ever watch a football game, just about every play that they have, there are adjustments that go on within the play itself. A lot of times the quarterback, before he even takes the ball, will call what we call an audible. He'll change the play right there at the line, right before he takes the ball, because he can see how the defense is lined up. And he makes an adjustment right within the play itself. So he'll take the ball, and he'll start checking down on his receivers to see what his options are. And even if all of them are covered, he can keep the ball himself and run it himself. All within the rules of the game. I mean, he knows he can't throw the ball to an ineligible receiver. He knows that he can't run out of bounds and then run back in right away. But within the rules of the game, he has lots of options, lots of freedom to do all sorts of different things. And that's how it is with our Christian life. God gives us guidelines, general principles, general guidelines for our life with lots of freedom and flexibility to go along with it. The Ten Commandments provide the framework, right? That provides the framework. But within that framework, all sorts of options, lots of possibilities. So, with all this freedom that God gives you, how in the world are you supposed to make a God-pleasing decision with all these different things that come up in your life? The Apostle Paul gave us some really good advice, some really helpful guidelines about making God-pleasing decisions as you go along in life. It's from Romans chapter 12, but it's interesting. I'll read the first verse for you where he gave some guidance and some advice, but it's interesting, the Apostle Paul, when he talked about it, he didn't say, okay, if you want to make a good decision, then you do this, 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 and this, and that's how you make a good decision. Instead, Paul talked about the motivation behind the decisions that you make. What you decide to do isn't so important as why you decided to do something. This is what he said. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As Christians, our whole life is to be lived in view of one thing. God said, in view of what Jesus did for you, my mercy to you in Christ. He said, so the backdrop is always Jesus Christ, his love for you, how he went to the cross and paid for all of our sins in full so that we have this full and free forgiveness for all time and eternity. All of these wonderful things, this gospel message that we keep coming back to all the time, all this saving work that Jesus did for all of us, that, in view of that, he said, live your life as a living sacrifice of service to me, holy and pleasing to God. Holy and pleasing to God. That is true and proper worship of our Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, when God's people would worship the Lord, their whole worship system was dominated by sacrifices. Oh, they made sacrifices all the time. They got up in the morning, they made a sacrifice. Before they went to bed at night, they made a sacrifice. All their major festivals, they made sacrifices. All over the place, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. In the New Testament, God says, I want your whole life, I want your whole life to be one big worship service where you offer yourselves to me in service, in view of what Jesus did for you. This lifelong worship service, it starts with your baptism, just like we started today, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you were baptized into the name of the triune God, and God washed all of your sins away so that they're gone. All the way to your very last breath, where you get to sing your own song of Simeon, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And everything in between, from the time you're baptized to your very last breath, God says, I want all of that to be this worship service where you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to your Lord. It's like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. But that means then that every decision that we make, every choice that we make, ought to bring God glory. And so the natural question is, how do you do that? Where do you even begin? This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He said, look, don't live like the unbelieving world around you. Don't live like them anymore. Live as the brand new person that God has made you to be. Fact is, you will be able to see what God's good and perfect will is more and more because you begin testing everything against God's word. You just test everything against what God's word says, and that helps you in the decisions that you make. You know, just for a moment, I want to take you back to that game plan idea, the game plan illustration. You know, years ago, more than 10 years ago, we had a member of our church who was part of the armed services, and he was part of a very elite unit, the Army Rangers. And he would never tell me this. He was too humble of a guy, but his parents were willing to tell me that he was up for a commendation and a promotion within the Rangers themselves because his commanding officer wrote up the recommendation. He said, this young man thrives under pressure. When the firefight is going on all around him, when the bullets are flying over his head and around him, and he has to go to door in combat, in a very stressful, terrible, awful situation, he keeps his head. And he actually makes really good, sound decisions in real time on the battlefield. And that is to be commended. That man should be promoted. And he said, here's why. It's because he is so familiar with the objective of the team. He so understands the rules of engagement and what the team is supposed to do. He understands it so well, he makes great decisions when chaos is going on around him. Promote that man. Commend that man. Same is true, isn't it? In our Christian life, we want to familiarize ourselves with the game plan as much as we possibly can. The game plan is found in God's Word. That's where God's will is always found. The more we read God's Word, the more we study God's Word, the more we absorb God's Word, the better we understand God's will in general and God's will for our life. So that you can make decisions then in real time, and you can say, yep, this lines up pretty well with God's will. I know that from the Bible. This doesn't line up very well with what God says in the Bible. I'm going to make this decision over here. Sometimes decisions that we make, it's not a choice between good and bad or between right and wrong, is it? A lot of times, it's a choice between good and good, right? I can serve this congregation over here. I can serve this congregation over here. I can buy this house. I could buy that house, or I could rent an apartment. I could marry this person over here, or I would marry a different person, or I could remain single. God's Word will always give us guidance with the decisions that we make. No, it's not going to tell you, you should marry this person, you should live here, you should buy this house. It's not going to tell you that. But God's Word will always say that the decisions that you make should be done out of love for God, without those sinful attitudes of selfishness or greed or anything else. God's Word will always say, whether you eat or drink or buy a house or get married or retire or choose a college or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever honors Him, whatever does the greatest good for other people, whatever is best for your spiritual life, that is what God wants you to do. Sometimes, don't you think it would be kind of fun if there was this predetermined blueprint for our life, so that God had everything planned out, everything, start to finish, so that when those decisions came along, all God would have to do is tap you on the shoulder and say, marry that person, live here, take that job. It might seem easier, but really that's not the healthiest thing for our faith. God allows us to wrestle with the decisions and the choices that He places before us in our life. And God wants us to go back to His Word and study it for guidance in the things that we do and the choices that we make in this life. And He wants us to look at our own hearts and examine the motives that are found there behind the decisions that we make. Basically, God would say, just follow what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12. One more time. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen.